which of you, by being anxious about it, can add to his stature a single cubit? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Usually doesn't make much sense to read news in a sermon, but I quote now from Edward Penton, writing for the National Catholic Register, from breaking news from last night. I'll inflect my voice when Penton quotes prelates in Rome. Quote, in an extraordinary 11-page written testament, a former apostolic nuncio to the United States has accused several senior prelates of complicity in covering up Archbishop Theodore McCarrick's allegations of abuse and his claim that Pope Francis knew about sanctions imposed on then-Cardinal McCarrick by Pope Benedict XVI but chose to repeal them. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, 77 years old, who served as apostolic nuncio in Washington, D.C. from 2011 to 2016, said that in the late 2000s, Benedict had imposed on Cardinal McCarrick sanctions similar to those now imposed on him by Pope Francis, and that Vigano personally told Pope Francis about these sanctions in 2013. Archbishop Vigano said in his written statement, simultaneously released to the Register and other media, that Pope Francis continued to cover for McCarrick, and not only did he not take into account the sanctions that Pope Benedict had imposed on him, but also made McCarrick his trusted counselor. Vigano said that the former Archbishop of Washington advised the Pope to appoint a number of bishops in the United States, including Cardinals Blaise Supich of Chicago and Joseph Tobin of Newark. Archbishop Vigano, who said his conscience dictates that the truth be known as the corruption has reached the very top of the church's hierarchy, ended his testimony by calling on Pope Francis and all those implicated in the cover-up of Archbishop McCarrick's abuse to resign, close quote. Notice that was a mainstream Catholic publication, not a traditionalist website. When a few of us priests blew the whistle on abuse of the Eucharist and dogma, most people thought we were crazy. Now we blow the whistle on child abuse and everyone listens. No matter. But there's a similarity between the two, dogma and children. Neither belong to us. Neither dogma nor children belong to us. Both are on loan. And we're called to protect them. Because child abuse leads to psychological death, and heresy leads to spiritual death, literally hell forever, which is why I consider heresy as bad as child abuse. In fact, tradition means that which is handed over. Handed over for what? For safekeeping. For safekeeping. And that's why it's not pious gobbledygook to say your children are on loan to you from God. Only loan. I, as a priest, am borrowing, so to speak, the apostolic deposit of faith, and I will be judged how I hand it over. You will be judged on how you hand your children over to the judgment seat of Christ. And sadly, but expectedly, amidst all these scandals, we see there is a high correlation between those who have abused dogma and those who have abused children. Not total correlation, as the traditional world has had some major scandals too, but there is some correlation. I do not rejoice in this news that I just read you from the National Catholic Register. But I can say this. Last night's news is a huge relief. There's now a crack in the dike that an evil empire within the church, not the church, but within the church, is cracking. This empire's held a grip in many continents in the church and may soon fall. This is vindication for all of us who've been fighting for children, fighting for the Eucharist, fighting for dogma. This is vindication mainly for those children who were abused physically with all these cover-ups, but also, to a much lesser extent, vindication to us priests who've been abused psychologically by our superiors for fighting both dogma abuse and child abuse. There is a huge sigh of relief across the Catholic world right now. Father Richard Heilman of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, publicly wrote yesterday, quote, welcome to the post-100-year unbinding of Satan, close quote. Notice I'm not quoting a set of a contest on this. Father Heilman is not only a priest in good standing, but a close friend of Bishop Morlino. Let me read that again. Welcome to the post-100-year unbinding of Satan, he wrote after last night's news. What he meant is that on October 13, 1884, Pope Leo XIII entered a trance after finishing Mass in the Vatican, and he saw Jesus and Satan talking. Satan said, I can destroy your church. Our Lord said, you can? Then go ahead and do so. Satan said, to do so, I need more time and more power. Our Lord said, how much time? How much power? Satan, 75 to 100 years, and a greater power over those who will give themselves over to my service. Did you catch that? And a greater power over those who will give themselves to my service. Our Lord answers, you have the time, you will have the power, do with them what you will. What Father Heilman means in linking the news the past 24 hours to this is that the revelation of these scandals finally coming to light, who's been doing the cover-ups, may be the beginning of those 100 horrible years in the church that began long before Vatican II, long before Vatican II, with modernism, communism infiltrating the church. Last night's news, it's not everything we were hoping for in the full restoration of the church and the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but I believe it is a beginning. And I'm personally so relieved that last night, while texting back and forth with my friend Father Heilman, we admitted our eyes were full of tears. Not at joy at the downfall of my enemies, but that we remember Our Lady's promise at Fatima that in the end, my heart will triumph. So today's gospel, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, in the traditional Latin Mass, tells us what to do next. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? But which of you, by being anxious about it, can add to his stature a single cubit? And as for clothing, why are you anxious? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today flourishes but tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. We need not worry precisely because evil is being unveiled at a very fast rate. As I said, there's a crack in the dike that has held back so much of the grace and truth of Jesus Christ in his one apostolic church. I consider this vindication and good news. But still, there's a caution in all of this. Father's sermon at the next Mass is all about filial piety. It's a warning against turning against the hierarchy. I spoke to him in passing, what he means by that, so you'll have to tune in to his next sermon. But here's what I mean by it. If we lose filial piety before the hierarchy, even in these scandals, we'll become no better than a bunch of Martin Luthers running around. Many Orthodox and traditional Catholics are sounding so arrogant about the abuse scandals online that they didn't do this abuse, that I very much fear they might leave the Catholic Church like Luther did in his self-righteousness. So be very, very careful about that. As I said 2 weeks ago, it's okay to be angry. But let's remember, the second most perfect creature next to the Blessed Virgin Mary in all of history was Lucifer, who had no doctrinal error, who had no sexual sin. But because of his spiritual arrogance, is now at the lowest pit of hell. We must look to Mary for humility in these days, or we could fall into satanic arrogance. Again, I'm not saying don't be angry, but remember your own sins in this. Our Lord Jesus, too, lived in a time of religious leaders so corrupt that they actually killed a rabbi younger than themselves who claimed to be the Son of God. And was the Son of God. A rabbi who, unlike Protestants' belief today, admitted that a corrupt hierarchy still remained on the chair of authority, What do I mean by that? Remember at the beginning of Matthew 23, our Lord Jesus says, "The scribes and the Pharisees have sitten on the chair of Moses. All things, therefore, whatsoever they shall say to you, observe and do." Today, it's admittedly a little worse because we're not to do all the things the hierarchy tells us to do when these commands are against the deposit of the faith. But even then, the bishops sit on the thrones of the apostles, and we must respect their office exactly as Jesus said about the Pharisees sitting on the chair of Moses. There was a Protestant man, very anti-Catholic, who got a flu so bad he thought he was going to die. And in the height of his delirium, he was given a revelation on this Matthew 23, because he had only known bad priests. He had only heard of the scandals. And when he realized that Jesus said, these Pharisees who were going to kill him, sit on the throne of Moses, in his flu-like delirium, he realized there was an authority nevertheless. And as he was waking up from this, he said to his wife, "We must become Catholic." And she just patted his forehead and wiped the sweat away and said, "There, there." She just thought he was going crazy. But he brought his whole family into the church, all 10 kids. They've all been going to the Latin Mass for 5 or 10 years. Matthew 23, you remember that when you look at these scandals, they still sit on the chair of authority. But another reason we have no need to worry is because God is in control. I don't mean that in the lame Hallmark card that he'll let this go on forever. Today's epistle is Galatians 5, but the next chapter, Galatians 6, has a line that every priest, bishop, pope, and layman needs to meditate on all week. It's Galatians 6:7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For what things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap." God is not mocked. God is not mocked. That's what these last 24 hours show us. God will not be mocked in his church forever. This is what we're seeing now as that crack in the dike begins that has held back the truth. Mary is taking a spiritual sledgehammer to a facade that is now collapsing. Like Father Heilman wrote, "Welcome to the post-100-year unbinding of Satan." Yes, I add, Mary's taking a spiritual sledgehammer to a facade now collapsing. But don't you do it, because you're not the sovereign queen of the Catholic Church. You just sit back and watch, holding your tongue in judgment as Mary did when the Pharisees killed her son, knowing Satan would have his hour and her son would have his day. Hold your tongue in anger and judgment now, in reparation for a greater number of souls to be saved at this coming vindication. And that is why you can take today's gospel literally, to not worry, as Jesus says, "Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of those." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.